Hello, I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, April the 21st, and it's time for the State Capitol Report. Thanks to John Munson for filling in for me last week and for hosting the State Capitol Report last Monday, which concentrated on the special session taking place for the legislature to pass the Great Lakes Compact, which would protect the Great Lakes and Great Lakes water from being sucked up from other states outside the Great Lakes Basin. We'll get an update on that pact this hour. But we're going to broaden this week's State Capitol Report and take a look at the environmental successes of the past legislative session and the legislation that still needs to be considered or reconsidered in the next session. As we focus on the green bills before the legislature in this edition of the State Capitol Report in honor of Earth Week and Earth Day, which is tomorrow. And we will welcome your questions or positions on the legislation that has been debated in the past year or issues you think need to be revisited. Maybe you have suggestions for new environmental laws that you would like to see in place in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest lawmaker this hour has worked on environmentally related legislation for all of his time in the state legislature. He is Spencer Black, a Democratic state representative from Madison, the senior Democrat on the Natural Resources Committee. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Happy Earth Week.
Happy Earth Week, and what a beautiful day for celebrating.
It is going to be a great day today for sure, and pretty nice tomorrow, I think. But is it a happy Earth Week policy-wise in your mind?
Well, if you look at this last session of the state legislature, I think you'd have to say it was mixed. Mm-hmm. There were some successes, a number of bills that should have passed that did not. There's one that would be a big success but hasn't happened yet but may very well, which you mentioned, the Great Lakes Compact.
Yeah.
And always important, there were a number of bills passed that would have harmed the environment, that were introduced that would have harmed the environment that did not pass. So I think that you'd have to say it was a mixed grade for the legislature on the environment.
Okay, well, let's touch on some of these. The Great Lakes Compact, right now the legislature's in special session to pass this, right?
The legislature has been called into special mm-hmm. session, but has not met.
Okay.
The assembly has put off, the speaker of the assembly, Representative Hipsch, has put off having the assembly meet and deal with it. Now, I'm still hopeful that later this month or early May, we will meet and pass it, but that's not a sure thing, but it looks very likely. And that would be a big victory for the outdoors if it happens. This Great Lake Compact, it's an agreement between all the states, eight of them, that border the Great Lakes and the two Canadian provinces mm-hmm. to keep the water of the Great Lakes Basin in the Great Lakes Basin and not allow it to be shipped out. As you know, oil, of course, is a commodity we often talk about in short supply, but water is right up there, is going to be mm-hmm. a fight, and of course in the West it's been a fight for many years. And there are states, especially in the Southwest, but increasingly in the Southeast, that would like to get in and transport Great Lakes water out of the basin into those states. As you know, the Great Lakes levels are already low and possibly falling. And the effort of the states and the provinces is to say that we essentially say that the water in the Great Lakes should stay in the Great Lakes Basin. So we're one of the few states that hasn't approved this compact, and there's a tentative agreement between the sides that have been struggling over it to agree to it. That's why the governor called a special session, and it will be a big victory when that happens, and I hope it's when and not if.
Right. The stumbling point there was especially some lawmakers who were concerned that other states could veto Wisconsin's use of water, say, in the community of Waukesha. Is that the stalemate here?
Well, that's partially. Mm-hmm. The compact, there's some communities that are outside the basin, the actual drainage basin near the Milwaukee, southeast Wisconsin, is a fairly narrow between the Great Lakes and where the water drains to the Great Lakes and drains to the Mississippi River. However, the compact allows communities there and counties that straddle that line, which includes Waukesha County, mm-hmm. To get water under certain circumstances. They would have to return the flows to the Great Lakes, but they could use it. And I think that's been worked out now. Actually, the city of Waukesha has always been supportive of this because they felt that the agreement would allow them to do it. They just have to take some efforts to do it right. And I think those problems have been smoothed out. That was one of the problems, but I don't think that was the major problem. At one point, we had some of the legislators here objecting to the idea of the compact altogether, that other governors could veto our use of water outside the basin, and we could veto theirs. But if you're going to have a compact where you don't allow the water to go out of the basin and it's legally enforceable under the Interstate Commerce Clause, you have to have the states working together. This would be a compact, which is a special constitutional arrangement where states agree amongst themselves. It will still have to be approved by Congress, which is no slam dunk, because Congress contains a lot of those states with increasing population that are casting greedy eyes on the Great Lakes water. So we have to have all the states approve it, then take it to Congress. But you have to have a united region if we're going to protect this Great Lakes water. You know, it seems to some extent, how can people from far away take this water? But I've had the chance to spend some time in California last year, and, you know, you go to something like the L.A. area, which is a population-wise almost double the entire state of Wisconsin, they bring all their water in, and some of it from quite far away. Water is valuable enough that people will pay to transport it, and as you could see from the stories in places like Atlanta, it's becoming more and more valuable. So if we want to protect the environmental integrity of the Great Lakes, we have to work with our neighboring states and the Canadian provinces to protect that water.
We will check weather and then continue talking with Spencer Black, a Democratic state representative from Madison, about green bills in the state legislature that passed or might pass or need to be reconsidered when the legislature comes back into session. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question for Spencer Black, or if you maybe have a suggestion for a piece of environmental legislation you think ought to be a law here in Wisconsin as we look at environmental legislation in honor of Earth Week. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 18 and a half minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, April the 21st. Stay with us. Coming up later today, Ben Marins is with you for At Issue between 4 and 6. After 5, Ben's guest makes a plea for women, especially young women, to assume their rightful places in the political corridors of power. He speaks with the author of Pearls, Politics, and Power, coming up after 5 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with State Representative Spencer Black about environmental legislation that was before, is before, and will once again be before the state legislature in this edition of the State Capitol Report, focusing in on the environment because tomorrow is Earth Day. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Talked some about the Great Lakes Compact, which Representative Black has his fingers crossed will pass the state legislature by, we hope, May 1st or so. And another success environmentally, Representative Black, the budget did fund the stewardship fund once again. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, Joy. And this is a big one, and what I'm personally very invested in. The Stewardship Fund is our state's, historically, the largest land conservation program in state history, and one of the most important, actually, nationally. I was able to help develop this program back in the late 80s with the assistance of former Governor Warren Knowles and Gaylord Nelson, founder of Earth Day. And both former governors, one a Republican, one a Democrat, worked with me to helped develop this program, which we were able to get the legislature to pass, and went into effect back in 1990. What the Stewardship Fund is a program to protect our scenic beauty and natural values, the land here in Wisconsin. Over its first now 18 years, it's protected over 500,000 acres of the best of what's left of outdoor Wisconsin. It's expanded state parks and forests, protected wildlife habitat, preserved endangered species, provided outdoor recreational activity. It's been a tremendous success, and with all the development pressures and changing land ownership patterns we see in Wisconsin, if we want to protect the scenic beauty and the natural values and recreational opportunities that have made our state so special, we have to take action. And we have in this Wisconsin. We can be proud of that. Now, the Stewardship Fund is a 10-year program. It's authorized 10 years at a time, and it would have run out at the end of 2010, so it had to be reauthorized, and it was in this budget. There were some attempts to stop it or to weaken it, but in the end, it was reauthorized for another 10 years, which is very good news. It was increased from $60 million a year to $86 million a year, which is a good increase, but far less than many of us would have liked and what the governor proposed in his budget. Because land values have increased. Anybody who's tried to buy, for example, some of the open space land, recreational land in rural areas knows that quite well as open space near developing urban areas. So it was increased to $86 million. It was originally proposed to be $106 million to keep up with land value increases, but it wasn't as much as I would have liked to see, but it's still a big victory because this program will continue for another 10 years and till the year 2020 now, and at a somewhat increased size, which means that the funds will be there to protect some of the open spaces and recreational opportunities, which for many of us, especially me, makes Wisconsin a great place to live.
Yeah. Well, in fact, we have callers that I want to go to, but I did want to get your reaction to a poll that we did with St. Norbert College, the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll. For the first time in the many years we've been doing this poll together, instead of asking just what's the most important issue or problem facing Wisconsin, we asked what's the best thing about Wisconsin, and the vast majority of the poll respondents said it's the natural beauty of Wisconsin, it's the outdoors, it's the lakes, it's the four seasons, it's all of that stuff that the Stewardship Fund is all about.
Well, I think that's one of the things we have in common here in Wisconsin, in addition to our joint love of the Packers and cheese, is our love of the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And the Stewardship Fund is doing a lot and has done a lot to keep Wisconsin a state where people in 10 and 20 years, I hope from now, will still be answering the same way to that kind of poll question.
David in Appleton is with us. Hi, David.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. I wanted to ask Representative Black whether or not he feels the legislature will continue to support the Focus on Energy program. And I'm interested in it. We recently put in a solar hot water system, and we eventually got our rebate check, which was a huge thing for us to be able to do that. It brought the cost of the system down about 50% when you combine it with the federal tax incentives. So I'm wondering whether he feels that program will continue to receive support, or if he feels that it might even be expanded in the near future.
Good question. The Focus on the Energy program, as I think the caller alluded to, as David alluded to, is the program that the state uses to invest in renewable energy and conservation. It's at times there's been efforts to really undercut it or even eliminate it. A little less so this legislative session. I think the high cost of energy, people are starting to wake up to this issue. But nothing's for sure in the legislature. We've had battles in the past from some to weaken this program. I expect we'll continue to fight that battle, but it's my hope that the program will remain strong. There were even some things done in this last legislative session to strengthen efforts for energy conservation, developing an Office of Energy Independence, and providing some funding to businesses that want to get involved in manufacturing energy conservation, renewable energy products, which is a good economic sector for us to be involved in the future. So I hope that we're out of the woods in this, and the support will remain there. But you know, given the legislature depends on who's elected in the next election, we'll have to see what happens. It's certainly been controversial in the past, but I think at least more of a consensus is emerging that we need to do more on the energy front.
Yeah. Thank you, David. Joe in Rockford, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question for you. I've done some traveling throughout the world, and I found that in many countries they support recycling programs by encouraging a cost for the can or the bottle as much as like a dollar. When I was in Ecuador, the price of the bottle was just as much as the price of the beverage. So people really were encouraged to recycle. And I was wondering if Wisconsin's thinking about getting involved in that program where you get money for your aluminum, for your plastic bottles, for your glass bottles, and how I might go about in Illinois getting Illinois to consider doing something like that.
Yeah, beverage deposit legislation. I mean, you don't have to just travel around foreign countries. About a dozen states in the United States have the same kind of law, although it's not a buck, but in most states it's a dime, including many of our neighbors like Iowa and Michigan. This is a battle that goes literally back to the first Earth Day, including here in Wisconsin, and it's one that's never been won. It's been hard fought and not won. Unfortunately, I would like to see a deposit on these bottles because it does encourage recycling, and it also helps reduce litter. But we do have in Wisconsin, even though we don't have a deposit law, we do have a strong recycling law that's done a lot of good. That passed back in 1990. And since we were able to get that through, we have reduced the amount of waste going to landfills pretty dramatically, almost in half in Wisconsin, including a lot less bottles and cans. They are required to be recycled in Wisconsin. I think a deposit would make sure that that happens. Less would end up along the roadside, or people go out and collect them for money if they do. If someone does toss them out of the car, that's what happens in other states. But it's a fight that there's been a lot of opposition to doing that in Wisconsin, and we haven't been successful. It's a battle that's been joined and not won.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Speaking of trash in the landfills, what happened to that effort to reduce the tipping fee for the out-of-state trash that is dumped in our landfills? I remember talking to you. You were fighting an effort to reduce this fee that companies would have to pay.
Well, actually, increase the fee.
Oh, increase the fee.
Increase the fee, but to reduce the amount of waste. That was a partial victory, which is probably the story of environmental legislation generally this session. The effort was to increase the fee for non-recycled garbage going into landfills to $10 a ton, bring it more in line with other states have, to reduce the incentive for other states to send their garbage to Wisconsin, which has been happening. There was a proposal to get it up to $10. It went up to $6 a ton, which was a partial victory, but I'm not sure that's enough of a disincentive to have a dramatic effect on waste coming into Wisconsin. But the legislation to introduce it to $10, unfortunately, was stopped. We had a vote on it, but it did not succeed in the state assembly.
Brian in La Crosse, hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Spencer.
Hi, Brian.
How you doing?
Good.
I have a question regarding the e-waste bill that was passed by the Senate but didn't get to the Assembly in time really for any action. Probably, as you're aware, in February 2009, the federal government's forcing us all to use digital for those of us who have rabbit ears on our televisions. And because of that, I assume there'll be a lot more e-waste, electronic waste, television waste headed to our landfills this year and early next year. It'd be wonderful if our state would ban e-waste to our landfills and have a program to recycle that statewide.
We got you, Brian, and we have news from National Public Radio coming up next, then Wisconsin Public Radio, and then Representative Black will address your question. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report, focusing this edition of the State Capitol Report on environmentally related legislation as we celebrate Earth Week this week, Earth Day tomorrow, talking with the author of many green bills in the state legislature over the years, Spencer Black, a Democratic state representative from Madison. He is the senior Democrat on the Natural Resources Committee, going over with us some of the successes of the past legislative session and some of the legislation that needs to be revisited. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question for him. in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Just before news time, we heard from a caller, Brian LaCrosse, who wanted an update on a electronic or e-waste legislation. He was concerned about a bunch of non-digital capable TVs being dumped in landfills in the near future.
Yes. Brian brings up a good question, and it's one of the disappointments of the legislative session. The bill was Senate Bill 397, which would have kept electronic waste out of the landfills. Our recycling laws keep a lot of materials, like we kind of discussed before, bottles, cans, paper, out of the landfills, and this would have added electronic waste to the list. Electronics contain a lot of trace toxic materials, the computers we use, the TVs that are going to get thrown away, as he talked about, as we go to digital TV. And there's a pretty ready market to disassemble these things and recapture much of this material. The bill passed the Senate, although late in the session. We did make a motion to bring it up in the state assembly, but that failed on a party-line vote, so that was not accomplished this legislative session. I certainly hope that it's right at the beginning of the next legislative session we take this up, because as Brian mentioned, we already have a lot of e-waste. People know how quickly they go through computers and how often those are tossed away. But with the TVs going digital, a lot of people are going to have TVs they're throwing out, and we really should make sure that those don't go in the landfills, that they're, to the maximum extent possible, recycled, reused, or at least disposed of properly.
We're going to be doing a program tomorrow in our 6 o'clock hour, a part of a week-long series on green living, on environmentally friendly lawn care. And that reminded me of this bill that I know that was introduced in the state legislature in this past session that would it have banned phosphorus in lawn fertilizers?
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Phosphorus is a key element that contributes to algae growth in lakes, the green lakes, the smelly lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And the bill would have been similar to what's already in place in Dane County and many other communities around the state, banning phosphorus and land fertilizer in most circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the bill passed the Senate, unfortunately failed in the Assembly, which happened with a lot of good environmental legislation that it would pass the Senate and fail in the Assembly. The bill, phosphorus is not needed for most lawns. The bill would make exemptions for starter lawns and also for lawns where a soil test shows that phosphorus is needed. My county has had this in place for many years, and it's worked very well. And it has prevented some of the runoff of phosphorus off lawns, golf courses, other grass surfaces into the lakes and rivers, and helped. It helps prevent some of the pollution that occurs. There's been some pretty good scientific studies showing that. And it's something you just don't need to pay for and put on your lawn. Almost all the land in Wisconsin for established lawns has sufficient phosphorus and doesn't need to be added. But it's often the one nutrient that's lacking in the lakes, and when that is added, it does make the lake some support growth of algae.
Yeah, so who doesn't like this? Lawn care companies don't want to be told to take phosphorus out of these products?
Yep, the lawn care companies opposed it, although in my county they opposed it initially, and now they've gotten on board. I don't know exactly why, and some of the companies that make this stuff, of course, also lobbied against it.
Mm-hmm.
This was a real disappointment, because it passed the state senate on a pretty bipartisan vote. There was some concern about how this stuff could be marketed. We reached a compromise. We worked and reached a compromise that was overwhelmingly approved on a bipartisan vote in the Assembly Natural Resources Committee. I thought it was going to be a slam dunk to pass it in the Assembly because we worked out this compromise. And then the Assembly Republican leadership just did not allow us to bring it up to on the floor for a vote. So again, this is one of the things that I hope will be taken up right at the very beginning of the next legislative session.
Yeah. Back to the phones. Virginia in Janesville. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, I guess we can celebrate Earth Day by really considering who we vote for. If these simple little things can't even get passed, I wanted just to comment on the guy who was concerned about e-waste. Here in Janesville, the Goodwill takes all our computers and stuff because they make money from recycling it. And I think a good bill to be passed would be that when these companies, Best Buy, Radio Doctor, whatever, sells you something electronic, they have to give you a little piece of paper that tells you where you can dispose of these things in a good way for the environment. Now, who could be opposed to that? That would just be telling us. It actually took me 3 years to figure out where to put my old computer parts. So that would be one thing. The reason I called is I went to the Conservation Congress meetings held by the DNR.
Last Monday.
Yeah. And it was because I wanted to vote on eliminating tax breaks for people who set aside land for conservation purposes unless they allow hunting and trapping on their land. And trapping, we're going to break the dog's legs, we're going to break the cat's legs. We don't want that on sanctuary land, basically. So they already cut the tax break in half unless you open your land to hunting and trapping. Now are they going to take it away totally?
Virginia raises a number of questions. Mm-hmm. And the last one, I think she's referring to the Managed Forest Land Program. Mm-hmm. Some people have proposed a change, but there was no legislation, to my knowledge, introduced on that, or at least it didn't go anywhere in this last session, and I don't expect it will in the next. But she raised another question about the composition of the legislature, and she touches on something important. Much of what happens in the next legislative session will be affected by what happens on Election Day. For example, as was mentioned, I'm the ranking Democrat on the Natural Resources Committee. I used to be the chair of the Natural Resources Committee, and if my party wins control of the Assembly in the next election, I will be chair again, and many of these things we talked about that won't pass will, I can assure you, be put up right very quickly in the session. So people who are concerned about this issue can ask the candidates for office about it, vote accordingly. The Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters has a good website where they list everybody's vote on these key issues we've been talking about, and you can check how your legislator voted on the issues, and then you make your mind up as a citizen in a democracy.
Yeah. Thanks, Virginia. Any comment on her thought that maybe the big stores that sell electronic devices should have to be required somehow to tell people what to do with them when they want to dispose of it?
I think that's a good idea, and it should be part of a bill that would prohibit this waste going to landfills. She also touches on something else, which is that there are many programs up and running and places that will take your electronic waste and recycle it, and hopefully those will be publicized better. Now it's, to some extent, voluntary. You can't throw this stuff in the landfills, but there's alternatives which you would hope that people would take advantage of. But I think that should be required, that it not go in landfills. And then, of course, people would become far more aware of where to take this material, and probably most communities would arrange for a pickup.
Yeah, a quick question before we go to the weather break on the Conservation Congress hearings last week. I was on vacation, so I don't know exactly what happened, but I think the majority of people attending those advisory hearings to the DNR board voted to explore having a wolf hunting season. Now, is this something that would have to come before the legislature before it actually happened, Representative Black?
If it was ever proposed, which would be many years down the line, yes, it would have to come before the legislature. It would probably have to be done by statute, not rule. But even if it was done by administrative rule, it would have to be approved by the legislature. I think that would be very controversial, and I don't expect to see anything of that sort come before the legislature anytime soon.
Our guest is Spencer Black, Democratic State Representative from Madison, Senior Democrat on the Natural Resources Committee, talking with us about legislation dealing with natural resources in Wisconsin as we focus our state capitol report this week on Earth Week. and Earth Day and environmentally related legislation. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question for him about what passed, what didn't, what should be on the legislative agenda when it comes to the environment as far as you're concerned. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
This year, Wisconsin Public Radio will give about 500 businesses and organizations a way to support quality public radio programming. We'll thank these businesses by airing announcements recognizing their support. To find your local underwriting representative, call 1-800-747-7444.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Epic Systems Corporation in Madison, giving patients online access to their health information through its web-based MyChart software on the web at epicsystems.com.
Checking the weather forecast for today. Sounds pretty good to me. Sunny and warm with a high of 78. Turning cloudy tonight with a chance of storms after midnight, a low of 55. Tomorrow looks like rain in the forecast with a high of 70. Clearing up by Wednesday, sunny and mild, a high of 70. Another chance of rain on Thursday and a chance of more rain, possibly some storms on Friday. Right now, sunshine in Madison and 50 degrees. In Milwaukee, it's partly cloudy and 41. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 o'clock, I'll welcome in Kevin Phillips. He'll talk with us about his new book, Bad Money, Reckless Finance, Failed Politics, and the Global Crisis of American Capitalism. So talk about problems with the economy coming up in our next hour with Kevin Phillips. Right now, we're talking with Spencer Black about environmental legislation in the state legislature. What passed in the last session? What's before it right now? What needs to be revisited as we take the environmental pulse of the state of Wisconsin on this day before Earth Day? Jim in Bayfield, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Hi. I'm calling first. I want to just want to say it's always fun to listen to one of my environmental heroes. I'd like to hear Spencer Black every day, but I know that's not possible. But
well, we'll try to get him more often.
Wonderful. The federal government offers incentives like rebates if you buy hybrid cars, certain hybrid cars. And I have heard that some states offer additional rebates. And I was wondering if there's ever been any talk about doing that or maybe reducing the registration fees for smaller vehicles or raising them for, you know, the big SUVs or, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, good question. And in fact, there was a bill to do just that, to give a rebate, state rebate for hybrid vehicles that got 40 miles a gallon or more. Unfortunately, it did not pass the legislature. I wish it had. As someone who's driven a hybrid vehicle for about 6 years now, I can tell you it gets great mileage. And with high gas prices, it makes a lot of sense to do so. I saw that sales are increasing. But we do not have an incentive at the state level. The legislation, unfortunately, to do just that did not succeed. The question of having differential registration based on mile per gallon has been brought up in years past. And again, that hasn't passed. I think politically it's probably more likely to occur as an incentive for more efficient vehicles than the other way around. Our registration fees aren't that great, so giving a discount on registration fees probably wouldn't be enough incentive. But, you know, we all pay the price of gas usage, obviously in pollution, but also there is one of the reasons that gas prices are going up is increased demand, obviously not just here but worldwide. And the more efficient this state can get, the better it's going to be in a lot of ways. But one way is economically. We spend so much money in Wisconsin on purchasing fuel from other states and nations. That's the biggest single drain on our state economy. We send well over $10 billion a year right off the bat out of this state and to other states. And the less money we send out of state for fuel, the more money there is to stay in Wisconsin and grow jobs and the economy here. So it's good not only for the environment, but for the economy.
Yeah. Speaking of years past, I think it was during the Tommy Thompson administration that the position of the state's public intervener was abolished or eliminated. This is the position that was a legal advocate for the public on environmental issues or lawsuits. Any luck in bringing that position back? I know you've been working on that.
Yeah, I have, and I haven't succeeded. Mm. There were really two issues together. The public intervener is one issue, which was a public advocate to represent the interests of the environment in mm-hmm. legal proceedings. I thought that was a very valuable position, and it was eliminated in 95. I've tried to bring it back, but I have not succeeded. A second one where I did not succeed but come a lot closer is, which happened at the same time, which was also to eliminate the political independence of the Department mm-hmm. of Natural Resources. Prior to 95 and for about 70 years, our conservation agency was non-political. It was run by a natural resources board. Now that board, of course, still exists, but it does not have the ability to appoint the top people at the Natural Resources Department. They're political appointees. They serve at the pleasure of the governor, and as we've seen, can be fired by the governor at any time. And that goes not only for the secretary, but all the other top positions. And I have long felt that that should change. And I thought we might have a pretty good chance of changing that this legislative session. We had a bipartisan bill passed the state Senate on a very strong bipartisan vote. In the Assembly, we had almost unanimous bipartisan support in the Assembly Committee. And we thought we had the votes to pass it in the Assembly. Mm-hmm. And the governor said he would sign it. So I thought this is going to be one we could chalk up on the victory board. Unfortunately, one of the big lobbies, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, WMC, came to the Assembly Speaker and demanded that it not come up for a vote. And the Assembly Speaker, Mike Hipsch, agreed with this lobby group and took it off the Assembly calendar, and we never got a chance to vote on it. We did have a vote on bringing it up for a vote, and unfortunately that failed on a party-line basis. But I thought this was one on a bipartisan basis, a mistake that was made now 13 years ago we could correct. And unfortunately, these lobby groups, these powerful lobby groups that spend so much money in the elections, have a disproportionate influence on what happens in the legislature, and we did not even get the bill up on the floor of the Assembly.
Yeah, you're going to try again next session.
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you, if the elections put me in charge of the Natural Resources Committee once again, this is going to be bill number one that comes up.
Yeah. What about the greenhouse gas emissions bill that would reduce the amount of greenhouse gas emissions in Wisconsin?
Yes, another disappointment. The Safe mm-hmm. Climate Bill, which was approved by the Senate committee and then stalled by the Assembly, once again, would have had Wisconsin join about 17 other states around the nation taking strong action to start addressing this issue of global warming, which could have such catastrophic consequences for the entire planet, and especially in this Midwest region. The bill, unfortunately, the federal government has taken virtually no action in this area, so what's happened is states have stepped up to the plate and started passing legislation. States that now represent about half the population of the country to have strong programs to do what the federal government should be doing but isn't. And I wanted to have Wisconsin join these states. The bill was called the Safe Climate Act, and it would have cut the greenhouse gas pollution by 25% by the year 2020. That did pass, had a very strong hearing. The hearing room was packed. The hearing went most of the day in support of the bill. It passed the Senate committee, but then when it went to the Joint Finance Committee, the Assembly chair, Republican chair, refused to allow a hearing, and that killed it for the session. But again, we're going to try again next time, and it will be one of the priority bills if I have that opportunity.
Now we go to Dawn in Wauwatosa. Hi, Dawn.
Hi. I'm wondering if there's been any legislation proposed to regulate the outdoor wood boilers that people are using to heat their homes.
Outdoor wood boilers?
Boilers, right.
Mm-hmm. I read about that the other day, and quite frankly, it was a new one to me, but it sounded like a significant problem, at least in local areas. There hasn't been legislation. Probably the Department of Natural Resources could do this by administrative rule. And if I believe in the article, they're going to start looking at whether these are devices that should be regulated. Apparently, they burn wood very inefficiently and create a lot of smoke. as a home heating unit. There's not mm-hmm. too many of them now, but they may be growing, and it's one of those issues that's, you know, just coming on the radar screen.
Yeah, you mentioned at the start of the program, Representative Black, that some stuff passed that was good for the environment and some stuff didn't pass that would have been good for the environment,
yes.
and also that some stuff was stopped that would have hurt the environment. What was defeated that would have hurt the environment?
Well, like most sessions, we had some bills to weaken our protection for wetlands mm-hmm. and for water quality, bills that would have stopped our smart growth program, and many of these bills were some of them made of various places in the legislature, but never made it to the governor's desk.
Mm-hmm. What about the moratorium to lift the moratorium on building nuclear power plants in Wisconsin?
That bill passed the assembly, but stalled after that. That bill would have repealed the Wisconsin law that requires that you have a place to put the waste from nuclear facilities before you build any new ones. This waste that comes from nuclear power plants stays dangerous, highly dangerous, for more than 10,000 years, and right now there's no place to permanently dispose of it. Wisconsin legislation does not permanently ban nuclear power plants, mm-hmm. but what it does say is before you build any new ones, you have to have a place to put the waste that's created. There was a very hotly debated bill in the Assembly to do away with that, what I consider common sense requirement. It did pass the Assembly fairly narrowly, but in the Senate it went nowhere.
Yeah. Well, we'll leave it there for now, and next session starts, January of next year, right?
That's right, next mm-hmm. January, and we'll have to see. The elections will make a big difference on what happens in that next legislative session.
And happy Earth Week once again.
Nice talking to you, Joy.
Yeah, Spencer Black, Democratic State Representative from Madison, our guest for this edition of the State Capitol Report, focusing in on environmental legislation, environmental bills before the state legislature. Thanks to Karen Prager and to Michelle Kofel for producing this hour. Thanks to you for listening. I hope you will join us all week long during our 6 o'clock hour. We will be talking about all sorts of green living topics. Tomorrow between 6 and 7, we'll talk about green lawn care, environmentally friendly lawn care. Between 6 and 7 on Wednesday, we're going to be talking to the author of Go Green, Get Rich. We'll talk on Thursday with a restaurateur about organic and sustainable eating locally, and what difference that makes. And then after 6 o'clock on Friday morning, we'll talk with the author of a book about greening up your cleaning up, green cleaning. So I hope you join us all week for this week-long series of Go Green. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.